Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hey, thank you so much for watching my YouTube channel. Oh my goodness, totally stoked because I get to interview today Todd Hampson. Hampson, like hamster, Hampson.
That's right.
I like it. So Todd, like this is our first time to meet and we've been talking maybe 12 yep. minutes ahead.
That's right.
Like that. So
we couldn't wait.
I know, right? So we just want to jump in the middle of it. Yeah. And we're talking, so where do you live? Give some of that.
Sure, so I live in just outside of Augusta, Georgia. I'm a Georgia transplant, originally from the DC area, but we've been there for about 13 years now. So we love it.
Nice,
yep.
And kids?
Got three kids. I call them kids, but my oldest is about to start a second year in college. And then I have a daughter who's a senior and then a son who's just starting high school. So mm-hmm. three teenagers mm-hmm. at the same time, and we're surviving.
Mm-hmm. Little gray.
And loving it. Oh, yeah.
I dye
mine. All this came within the last couple years, I think.
Mm-hmm. I totally get that. Totally get that. And you've been married how long?
20 years. Just nice. Celebrated our 20th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
That's an achievement.
It is.
Yeah. It's a milestone.
Achievement for my wife.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. So what do you do? Like, and why would we know you?
Sure. So my primary background is I worked as an artist for years, and then in 2003 started Timbuktoons, which is an animation company. So we produce animation for ministry, children's ministries, family-friendly entertainment, that kind of thing. So mostly curriculum-based and that kind of thing. So short-format cartoons. So that's my primary background.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how'd you get into that?
I always loved drawing, even as a kid. I mean, that's what I'd get lost doing and never thought that that's what I would do as a career. But God, later when I became a Christian, God, you know, slowly kind of gave me kind of next steps on how to use that for him. And then particularly in my early 20s, when I really was like, all right, Lord, I'm all in. I'm living for you. What do you want me to do? He really started, you know, helping me think through how to use my talents for him, for the kingdom and that kind of thing. So I always loved character design and story, you know, love animated movies and that kind of thing. But again, never realized I could do that as a career. And then after about 13 years in a graphic arts career, decided to kind of shift gears and go all in on animation. So that's when I started my company. And like I said, character design and illustration is really my background. I can animate, but I don't enjoy that as much as just the initial concept, coming up with the story and the characters and the primary artwork and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
That kind of like puts wind in your sails?
Oh, it does. I love it. The whole development process, whether it's books or animation, is just that's really thrilling to me.
It gets you like really stoked up.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
And like what's your favorite animated movie?
It's funny, every few years they kind of shift. I used to say The Incredibles, you know.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of it's the timing for what you're personally going through sure. and how it hits you. But more recently, and I'm a 2D animator at heart, so recently the Spider-Man Into the Multiverse that came out last uh-huh, year, uh-huh. just visually and story-wise, it won all kinds of awards. But that's kind of my new favorite from a visual perspective.
When you say 2D, what does that mean?
So 3D or CG is they actually build 3D models in the computer and then they rig them so you can animators can animate them. Mm-hmm. Whereas 2D is more, it's either hand drawn or symbol based, but it's more flat, more like what you see on TV animation.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some CG there as well, but like the old school cartoons we grew up with,
yeah.
that's 2D or the old school Disney.
Okay.
But there's some new styles of 2D that are really cool. So, and that's another thing I like is just really stylized stuff that's mm-hmm. not realistic, but still captures the essence of who that character is. Mm-hmm. So that whole art direction side is really fun too. Mm-hmm.
So you're very artsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, I'm part artsy. I'm a weird, you know, God has a sense of humor. Like David was a warrior, but he also played instruments, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
So sometimes it's like God puts weird things together. So mm-hmm. I'm part art, I love being an entrepreneur and starting new things and taking risks and blazing new trails and that kind of thing. So it's a weird hybrid of all those things, I think.
And sometimes when you're a hybrid,
mm-hmm.
Do you ever struggle with that sense of like, where do I fit and belong? And
oh sure.
And how do you navigate that?
Yeah, you know, lots of prayer. You know, I mean, even especially what's most recent in my mind is the book part of the ministry. And I felt like God was calling me to do that, but I really, you know, I really had to pray like, Lord, show me, confirm that. Lord, if this is really you, open the next single door. And then one by one, he just kept opening those doors. So I think for me personally, I know I'm a little all over the map, but my wife knew since she was in the third grade, God was calling her to be a teacher.
Wow.
Crystal clear, always been the same. Me, it's like I've had the same calling, using art for the kingdom, but how that's looked has just morphed over the years. And I always wrestle with purpose, you know, mm-hmm. in a healthy way. Like, mm-hmm. God, I want to be on mission for you. So this season of life, show me how to use it for you. And mm-hmm. it looks a little different in each season, but always related to, you know, animation and art and mm-hmm. story. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Because sometimes I think in that hybrid place and peace, and like you said, kind of mm-hmm. it morphs in kind of an organic.
Absolutely.
And I think, like for your wife, and I think there are individuals who have that kind of locked in. Like mm-hmm. I got this, and this is where we're going.
Yeah.
But for some of us, it's a little bit like
process
discovery.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a great word for mm-hmm. it, and that's very accurate. And that's part of what excites me. Mm-hmm. You know, so
it's the adventure,
makes sense.
Huh?
Yeah, it's the adventure. Exactly.
Try right. it and see if it yep. like lights you up, and if yep. it doesn't, you're like, woo, check
exactly.
that box, move on.
I mean, I want my bills paid, mm-hmm. but I also like to take the risk. So
mm-hmm. and play and have some fun with
and
it.
Play and have some fun with it. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And yeah. if it doesn't like kind of make your heart beat, then it's like.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And you know, some people are called to be in a particular job, and they can, like I have friends that are in, you know, what I would think would be a mundane job, but I hear stories about how the Lord uses them with the people they meet and the influences they have mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But for me, it's just a little different. Yeah, I guess God makes us all wired a little bit different, mm-hmm. and trying to figure that out is half the fun.
Mm-hmm. And what does that look like in terms of your day-to-day walk with mm-hmm. God?
It's funny, lately I've had to, and I've heard pastors talk about this, but since I'm writing books now and I do a lot of study for that, I need to make sure I'm not leaning on that to fill me up, that I still need my dedicated time with the Lord to be, you know, to make sure I'm balanced and doing everything right, you know, make sure my relationship with my wife and kids is good. But keeping that relationship with Him front and center, no matter what else is going on, and making sure that's not that I don't tie those two together. Oh, well, I'm studying spiritual warfare for this book, so Lord, that's my devotion today. But I really need to hear from, I need dedicated quiet time where I'm in His Word until something jumps out at me, and then I'm spending time praying to Him about that. And you know, I don't always do it perfectly. It ebbs and flows.
Sure.
I was sharing with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago that the times that I've been the closest to the Lord are the hardest times of my life, when I've had to dig deep and seek His face and all that kind of stuff. So I think through those valley experiences, He has taught me, like, all right, even in the good and moderate times, you still need to be seeking me, because I'm not just a rabbit's foot God you can rub when you need me.
Sure.
You need to maintain that relationship with me, you know, across the board. So I guess with taking a few lumps in life, you mature a little bit and you learn those mm-hmm. things. So mm-hmm. hopefully I'm receptive to the Lord.
And where did you kind of, when did the light go on in terms of, look, I can't just use my study stuff mm-hmm. as my like devotional time? When did the light go on for you with that contrast?
I think honestly, in writing the first, I'm writing book three now. So the first one, which we'll be talking about today, that one, I think I learned so much on like how much content you need, how much study you need.
Yeah.
When you think you know something, but then you go to research it and you realize, oh, I still need to learn a lot more
yep.
of this.
Yeah.
But I think it was during that process that, you know, about midway through the book, you kind of hit the wall and you're like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to finish this thing? And I realized too, I had started to neglect that and just study, where I was like, all right, Lord, I need to take it a day at a time, yeah. one step at a time, put You first and just make sure I have that intimate time with You before I do the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you're working on your third book. What's the first one?
So the first one is The Nonprofit's Guide to the End Times. And it's just a broad overview of Bible prophecy in general.
Mm-hmm.
Covers a lot of territory.
Yeah.
When I wrote it, I thought that was the only book I'd ever write, because I just, yep. I mean, I just felt like God was calling me to write that book. But since then, He's opened up other
doors. Hold on, I'm going to go in that book for just a second.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I've, you know, obviously I looked at it, of course, because mm-hmm. I'm interviewing you on it for our mom's
sure.
TV program, but, or our TV program.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I love about that is it's animated.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you talk a little bit about how you integrated the content plus the animation?
Sure, absolutely. It's really, really, when it boils down to it, it's systematic theology in the book. And that can come across as really dry to people or
Ooh.
Intimidating.
Yep.
So, and the topic of Bible prophecy in the end times in general.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many barriers to
and
entry.
And that's your first, I was like, oh my gosh, that'd be my last one.
Yeah. Well, and I just felt like having some humor, like there's a character called the Nonprofit.
Love it.
Yeah. And, he's a funny guy that gets prophecy wrong and he can't make a living. So he's a nonprofit on two levels, day late and the dollar short.
Nice.
But there's comic strips of him. There's comical spot illustrations. Yeah. And my thought was, I'm a visual learner. And of course I love character design. So I wanted to put as much of that in the book as I could. And also a lot of, when I was studying Bible prophecy, a lot of the end time charts and explanations I saw were just way too complicated. I mean, great if you're in seminary and really having to learn the whole thing, but if you're just the average Christian trying to get a handle on this, some of them are way too, so I've spent a lot of time really simplifying some of those and presenting them in a way that our generation and below could understand.
Thank you. When I picked it up, I was like, oh my gosh, this, I could do this one.
Right.
It was accessible.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of the nonprofit. I was sharing with you, I've never been on staff at a church, have not been to seminary, although that might be in the works, doing some online stuff. But I mean, I've taken some, you know, Bible courses at different Bible colleges and stuff, and just have always loved theology. But I'm the nonprofit in the sense, like, all right, people, if I could figure this out with a little bit of study and elbow grease and make sense of it, you can too. So it's an encouraging way of, like, you know, kind of meeting people where they are, kind of like a missionary would. Go out on the mission field, understand their culture, understand their language, and then present it to them in that fashion. So
get in the context and run with that.
That's right.
Totally good. Yep. So that's the first one. What's the second book?
Second book is The Nonprofit's Guide to the Book of Revelation. So it's a deeper overview just of the Book of Revelation.
Wow.
Same format, you know, that kind of thing.
You really wanted to, like, go deep?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, it's a niche market, Bible prophecy in general. And not all my books will be specifically Bible prophecy. The third one is spiritual warfare. So that'll be, you know, an exciting one as well. But they're all big, broad, complex topics that people get wrong or are confused by. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the kind of the idea.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun. And what I like, too, is like what you said. You look at the context, where are people, and what do they do? And then dive into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So this is interesting. This is kind of left field, but it might be interesting to you.
Sure.
So somebody said, I heard this on a podcast the other day, the Gospels, and equating them to movie genres.
That is interesting. I never thought about that.
I know. Yeah. So Mark would be action-adventure.
Definitely.
Because it's all like immediately. Yeah. That's like the key word for the whole thing is like immediately. And he
that
just goes from action to action to action to action.
Yeah.
John would be a romance.
Hold on, let me take notes for my next book.
I know, no. And then I think, what was the one? I think Matthew was like a drama or something like that. I forget. And then Luke would be like kind of a documentary.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a way to explain
it. I know.
A way that people can understand.
I know. I was like, that's so perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. So
definitely.
Fun.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
I know. Got some legs, huh?
Yeah.
Super
for
fun.
Sure.
What do you feel like God's leading you to in the future?
You know, it's funny. I've mainly transitioning, I'm still going to keep the animation piece alive because that's serving a lot of ministries, but really focusing full-time on writing books and being an author illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just really feel like that's his specific calling, you know, from here forward. But again, just the adventure thing, just taking it one book at a time, one step at a time. But you do got to think long terms in terms of marketing and position and, you know, even finances, like, all right, how can I map this out 5 years down the road when I got two kids about to be in college and a third one that's about to be driving and all that kind of stuff. So trying to figure that out. But at the same time, just really, I'm just excited about the fact that God's using what I'm doing and some of the stories I'm hearing. That's the most encouraging thing is some of the stories I'm hearing about people. Like I was at a conference a couple days ago and I got to get some feedback from people who already had the book and read it or gave it away and some of the stories. So those are, for me, that's the rewarding part is to hear. Mm-hmm. Because as an animation producer and an author, you're in your bubble the whole time. Mm-hmm. You don't get to really see how it's used on the front line. Mm-hmm. So when you can get that feedback and hear some of those stories, that's really encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Totally good.
Yeah.
So if you had like a key verse that would be like one of your favorite in the Bible, like what would be like your kind of go-to?
Yeah. You know, the two that have been resonating with me lately are when you see all these things begin to happen, look up, your redemption draws near. Again, we never know the day or the hour, but it just seems everything we look at, we're in the season of the Lord's return. So that's an exciting thing for us to look up. And probably another one is John 10:10. You know, the thief comes to kill, and destroy, but I come to give you life more abundantly. So that, and that's really the story of my life. I mean, I was sharing with you, my wife and I both kind of grew up unchurched, broken family backgrounds, all kinds of baggage. And I'm blessed. I love, you know, I loved my childhood, had some great times and stuff, but there were some tough things too. But when we got married, actually, and I was sharing with you, the Lord really tracked me down when I was 13 and saved me. And it was a process of coming to know him, having a lot of questions answered, and then just really realizing, oh, he's got a purpose for me, you know? So, and then being able to lean into that purpose and go through the adventure and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So John 10:10 probably means a lot to me mm-hmm. in this season of life.
Yeah. Love it, love yeah. it, love it, love it. And raising kids, what's your biggest challenge? Teenagers, exactly.
Teenagers, it's a different animal. Uh-huh. You know, it's a lot of, okay, are they really hearing what I'm saying? Are they, mm-hmm. you know they've heard it their whole life, but watching them walk through situations, sometimes messy, sometimes struggling, to where they got to start applying that and realizing, like, oh, I need to own all this for myself. Yeah, I'm a believer, but I need to think ahead of, you know, who are my friends going to be? Where do I want to go to college? How's all of this going to impact my calling? You know, and my son, I was sharing, kind of wrestled with what college to go to. So that was kind of a healthy wrestling because it helped him to lean on the Lord, you know, for the first time in a major adult kind of way. And I think just that, you know, kind of, I'm rambling a little bit, but as I think about it, just really trying to empower them to live out their faith in a real and concrete way and try to see them own their faith for their own in the little things, mm-hmm. you know. So that's kind of the challenging thing, I think. And being patient and not committing a homicide.
Mm-hmm. Right? I know. You're like, you did what?
Yeah.
Or I see these things on Instagram. My kids will post stuff on Instagram. Like yeah. my youngest, he likes to cook. Oh, he's yeah. an amazing, amazing cook. So my husband and I were on a date, and I'm just kind of looking at Instagram, and sure. he's got... My son posted this video of him doing like a flambé at home.
Oh, man.
Like he's lighting a match on, you know, and you see this whoosh in our kitchen. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I didn't show it to my husband at the yeah. moment because I was like, this
didn't
just happened.
Ruin the date. Yeah.
So,
hey, neighbor, can you check and make sure my house is
exactly,
not burning right now?
Exactly. Yeah. Are there fire trucks? Woof. Yeah.
And a lot of it is, I think they just, you know, it's that time frame where they're starting to, they don't really realize the effects of some of their actions, you know, like the fire.
Cause and effect, like, yeah. hey, is there a fire extinguisher?
Right.
And I looked at the yeah. surrounding things, I'm like, that could yep. catch fire. Thank
exactly.
goodness there's no paper towels.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Todd, thank you. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Thank you,
very
totally
welcome.
Appreciate
it's a,
it.
It's a pleasure. Thank
Thanks
you so
for
much.
Watching. Love to have you. Like, of course, comment, thumbs up, subscribe would be magnificent. And, of course, we're going to finish with a joke. You're like, seriously? Yes, of course we have a joke. So why are ghosts the most popular guests at parties? Because they always bring the booze. I know, right? A little edgy, but super fun. Thanks so much. Catch you next week.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.